This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
So Mo recently came to Florida to celebrate Christmas time, fun time with me and my family, my Floridian family, and we did a little Secret Santa. We did a lot of fun things, but you know, we have so many things to talk about. We'll keep it down.
I was really the first one to introduce Secret Santa to this family, and now it's a little family tradition.
Yeah, the first annual Munir Khan Nawaz.
You will never believe Secret who Santa. Had me as Secret Santa.
Man, I'm a good secret.
It was Mashum Munir himself. I was so bamboozled when I realized it was actually him who had me.
Yeah, we did it on like this website that draws names, and I got Mo, and I was so excited. I saw everything that was on our list, and instead of getting one thing, I just got it all.
Yeah, we had a limit, but unfortunately, this man does not know what a limit is, and he actually.
I got a couple people. You know, I was never a big like Christmas present giver. This was literally the first year where I bought like people stuff. Like I got my sister got some, I got my mom some, I got you some stuff.
Yeah, me and you didn't follow the rules at all because we got everyone something. We didn't want anyone to feel left out, you know.
It was a good time. I got Mo some sketching painting things and
a book.
Nice little book. My sister had me and she got me the sweater that says Silly Goose on the Loose.
Yeah. It was very fitting.
She used her budget on.
Yeah.
The Silly Goose sweater. And story number two. So I'm pretty sure I said this before, but for Black Friday, I bought my mom a foot massager. And she loves it. She uses it every single day. Best present I've ever gotten.
She uses it so much that it like stays in place. It's not unplugged. So she can just like get into it right away.
A certain spot.
Yeah.
Like if it ever goes missing, she'll come barging on my door.
Right.
Asking where it went. Highly recommend getting a foot massager for your mother. Got one for my mom. The whole family came to Florida and everybody tried it out. First, everybody was hating on it, saying, oh, this tickles. Oh, it looks stupid. Oh, it doesn't even work. Oh, that's too hot, blah, blah, blah. By the end of the trip, guess what everybody was fighting over? It's like, take a guess. Freaking getting tossed around like freaking basketball. Everybody's trying to get a crack at it. Highly recommend. You got any comments?
It was a good foot massager. You know, I am a little bit ticklish on my feet. So like at first, I really could not withstand it. Like I was able to, I was almost like, I was about to say no to it. Like I was about to give it up. And then you know what? I was like, let me give it a second chance. This year is about giving second chances to things, you know?
There you go.
So I put my feet in there and I was like, you know what? This discomfort is actually comfort. And it was just my feet like screaming for help, you know? So then I couldn't get off of it.
So what you learned from this situation?
Well, I did it so much that the foot massage actually broke.
you learn a valuable lesson.
Yeah, is that if you use something too much, it will break. You have to also take care of it. So yeah, the foot massager
more importantly, don't judge a book by its cover. Anyways, thank you guys for coming back, listening back, tuning in to our beautiful podcast, Difficult-ish podcast about South Asian narratives, hosted by myself, Mashnoon Munir, and my lovely co-host,
Mahua
who goes
Khan?
By and
Labyrinthev. Oh, sorry. I thought Labyrinthev. You also meant like.
No, sorry. Oh, okay. Sorry. That's it. That's the only spotlight you get.
Oh, okay. Anymore. You know, before we start into our final episode of the year, I want to give ourselves a little pat on the back because I've noticed that a lot of podcasters and a lot of people, I mean, as they should, they take a lot of season breaks and a lot of breaks around this time of year where they don't post their podcasts, obviously. They don't make videos. They don't do work because a lot of people are off after the holidays. But me and you are dedicated where we did not take a break and we are fighting through the holidays and we're giving y'all content.
Yeah, there were 50. How many? There were 52 weeks. We probably posted at least like 48. I don't know how many.
We had like a 3 or 4 week season break in July.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I I also commend us because it's hard to keep consistency, especially in the beginning stages. It's a lot easier nowadays.
Yeah.
But back when we first started, you know, we've been doing the pod for like a year and 3 months. And it was tough in the beginning, especially when like listeners weren't going up, or you know, if you've been listening before episode like 15, you had to live through our Boo Boo Silly Goose microphones.
Yeah.
And we got better microphones. It was a tough time. But you know, I think we had a good year, no?
Yeah, we had a little nice little incline, you know. I'm proud of ourselves. So this episode is actually for our dedicated listeners, you know. We know that there are some of y'all that listen to us every single week. We saw some of y'all's Spotify Wrapped, you know. We saw that you spent a lot of minutes on us.
God, so, 2,000 minutes.
Yeah, this episode is for you guys because,
sickles.
You know, this episode is just like more personal. We want to talk about like a little recap of 2022 before we start the new year. Some of the highlights that we've had with the podcast, and also maybe a few failures that we've had. You know, it's important to fail. It's also important to bring it up sometimes because a lot of people think that it's only just success and it's only just ups. But, you know, we've also had downs. So we wanted to, you know, do a little 2022 recap and some of our goals, if you stick around to the end, for 2023.
Yeah, some podcast goals. Maybe some podcast goals.
Mm.
How's 2022 for you? Rate 1 to 10.
You know, I'm not going to lie. It was a pretty good year. Only because I feel like I finally put myself first. I finally started believing in my potential. 3, I finally started, you know, like traveling. I finally started doing the things that I've always wanted to do. I think it was the beginning of the beginning. And I think that younger me would be really proud. You know, even January me.
Yeah.
How was it for you?
Me too. Are you going to give it a goddamn rating?
Oh, you wanted a rating.
Huh? Oh, pretty good.
You wanted a rating? I didn't hear that part. Sorry about that. I'd give it a good like 8.59 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's higher than
it was a good
that's
one.
That's higher than I was expecting.
It was a good one.
That's higher than I was expecting.
Would you
what was 2021 for you? You remember?
2021 was a solid 5-6. Yeah.
Wow.
Just a little incline from there.
Good, huh? Things were a lot better.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. I'd say this year I matured a lot.
Mm.
I learned a lot more about myself. I decided to be nicer to myself, to give myself a little bit more, you know, leisure time and space and just free will to think about what I want to do in the future. I had some big milestones in my life, and I would give it a good eight.
Oh, that's pretty high.
Eight. Good year.
Why'd you come at good me year. For having a high rating when you did too?
Nah, cause nine is like wow.
Oh, you know? That's a little one decibel.
right. I never unless I get 90, but like it's like a 90. Like, I never got A's. Like, oh. I never got 90%.
Oh, okay.
Big B.
All right.
Big B guy.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, good eight, good year. What was the top moment from this year? Give me one. We'll go back to back.
You know, Mashun and I, with the family in Florida, we actually did this game where we talked about some of our top three moments, you know? So I have some up my sleeve because we talked about it extensively with the family. So one of them was actually graduating. And I know we sound like a broken record. We sound like a broken record because every single episode.
I don't know if you guys knew.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys knew, but we both graduated. We talk about this in every single episode. But you know what? It was a good moment. It was a good time, you know?
Yeah, real good.
Maybe we'll shut up about it.
What about it? What about the moment made it so good?
Well, I was getting to it.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
Maybe we'll shut our yap next year about graduation, but probably
not. What about the moment made it so good?
Shut up. But something that I really liked about graduation was that my parents were very prideful. Like, they were so excited to come to me after I met up with them after the ceremony, because first of all, they didn't know that I was VIP and I got special recognition.
No, they didn't.
Which meant I was sitting on stage. And they also didn't know that my face would be on a Jumbotron with their pictures as well in this big, you know, stadium in, what the hell is this name of the stadium? Oh, Barclays Center.
Barclays.
Yeah, so I was the one sitting on stage with, you know, like 50 other students or something like that. And there were thousands of other students in the audience. And I think this moment was very nice for my parents because it's like, wow, my daughter worked really hard to have this moment. And it was a surprise for them. And I had, you know, a perfect GPA. And I think that was a very good moment for my parents, but also for me because, you know, I worked really hard for that degree. And I was so stressed out in my 2 years of master's and also in undergrad. And it felt like it finally paid off in some way. And I was just proud of myself for pushing through even when I wanted to give up because there were so many months where I had so much burnout and I was like literally like dying. And, you know, you motivated me, but also my degree motivated me and making my parents proud motivated me. But it was a really nice, worth it moment.
And I second that. Yeah. You know why? Because I was there.
Yeah, you were.
I was there. That little video y'all saw on the YouTube, on a little Instagram, or a little TikTok. Guess, you know, record that.
Yeah.
Take us.
Yeah.
I knew it. I was the only person that knew it was coming on. And before, like, your portion came in, I told your brother, I was like, yo, like, they're going to say something about your sister. Like, be ready to record. He was like, yeah. Then, like, I remember, like, when it came on, like, I knew when it was leading up to the part when they were going to talk about you. And I was recording the whole thing. And I was and like in the video, you can hear me be like, Shuno, Shuno. And I was talking to your mom and trying to get her to,
which means listen, pay attention, listen,
because she was like, she was trying to scramble for her phone to record it. And I was like, yo, I got it. Like, you don't got to record right now. Like, just focus on watching this. I don't know if she listened. I think I was just focused on recording, but beautiful moment. That was actually one of my top moments as well.
Hey, come on.
It was. Me being there, I was just so proud of you. And you were on the stage at Barclays Center. Like, Barclays Center is, like, no joke. Like, freaking Jay-Z has performed there. Like, so many stars have performed there. And you were on the stage. Like, you weren't in the crowd. You weren't on the floor. Like, you were on the stage. And that's a massive accomplishment.
It was really crazy because I remember I went to that stadium in like 2016 to see Demi Lovato. And when I was backstage, like getting onto stage, I saw like all of the celebrities that have performed there before because I was in the same hallway that they were in.
Big ones.
So it was really nice to have, you know, my loved ones around me and to feel that pride for myself.
Good one, yeah.
What was yours?
Thanks for getting me in VIP. Like I say, I was VIP section of Barclays. Quick side note, there was a drunk guy that tried to fight me right after the graduation.
I forgot about
that. I don't know why there's a drunk guy at a graduation, but he tried to fight me and I was a grown up about it.
Yeah, you were. Didn't want to fight anyone in front of my parents, huh?
No. Yeah. Mine is also my graduation.
I didn't know you graduated.
Said it a million times.
Did you?
I won't spend a lot of time on it, but it was not only my biggest accomplishment of the year, but of my life. And I think about it all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
It was a big moment for me. I look at my graduation pictures all the time just for fun. That thing was crazy. You were there.
I'm proud of you. We were just talking about this before the episode started. Like, we're so happy that we were there for each other's graduations. And we saw how much, you know, pride that our parents had and, like, how much pride we ourselves had. And it's just like such a nice moment when you see someone that you're with and you know that they've been working for years for that one, you know, accolade and they finally get it. Like, you see so much happiness and pride in their eyes. And I remember just screaming her name when you walked across. Like, it was so nice. And then also looking at your mom and she was so happy.
Yeah, I know my mom was
Mashnoor Manoor.
They literally said my, yeah, I'll never forget that shit. And like, you know, when on that piece of paper, you could put the pronunciation.
Yeah.
You could put the pronunciation of your name. What is that for?
Yeah. They literally pronounce his name as Manoor.
Why am I gonna do that if they're still going to fuck? Like, it was a goddamn 89-year-old white man. I was like, there's no point. He's going to say goddamn Mushroom Manoor. Your dad's fucking cackle from New York.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. You graduated.
All right. Next. Give me one more.
One more?
More, but one more right now. One more right now.
All right. Another moment. When I painted my third mural. I painted a mural this year. It has not come out yet. It's at Pio Chai number 2. I painted it. I finished painting it actually in February. I started it in like fall of 2021.
This isn't just a game. It's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100 year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
And it still has not opened. It's currently December of 2022. This mural has been done for like a year now and they haven't opened the location yet. But I remember after I finished painting this mural, I was just so proud of this piece. I mean, I'm always proud of the murals that I make and any art that I make, but especially seeing your art on such a big scale, like this was 22 feet, and seeing that it's in like a big major store, it's surrounded by other art, it's like South Asian based. And I also hear, you know, a lot of the comments and compliments from other people when they see the first mural that I painted at Pio Chai. And I'm just like really happy that it came to life, because like when I first designed it and sketched it out, I started literally in September of 2021 and then I worked months on it. And so it's so crazy that like it happened and I like made what I made. And, you know, just seeing your art in real life in such a big form is wild and it makes me so happy.
Yeah, they gotta hurry up and open that thing up.
Yeah, hopefully next month. I'm trying to see it. Inshallah.
Oh.
Yeah.
A little announcement.
Next month or? Yeah, we'll see.
Soon.
Yeah.
I like it. That's a good one.
How about you, buddy?
That's a good one. I gotta say, I have to say my first night in Colombia.
Oh, that's a good one.
My first trip.
I didn't even say mine.
Back in Colombia. Long story. I'm not sure if I told the story of my first night in Colombia for my first trip. I went to Colombia twice this year, but first trip, first night was very big moment for me.
I remember, yeah.
I'll tell it real quick. Won't spend too much time. Long story short, I bought a ticket to Colombia like a week and a half before I went. I've just always wanted to go to Medellin. I grew up with a lot of Colombian people and they just always stressed how beautiful Colombia is. And I love Spanish culture and I want to go to a lot of different Spanish countries. And my first one was Puerto Rico, which I went to in 19. Second one, I wanted to go to Colombia. I wanted to go to Mexico, but I'll do Mexico later. I went to Colombia.
We went to Mexico, but you didn't go to like the authentic areas of Mexico.
No, I want Mexico.
Yeah.
Got a ticket, got an Airbnb for a couple nights. And before my flight there, before I got there, I did literally barely any research. I researched how to get to my Airbnb and researched how to like withdraw money from the airport, but like that's it. So long story short, I get to my Airbnb. It's like a Thursday night. No, it's a Friday night. And it's like 6 p.m. I'm looking on my Instagram for shit to do. I find this event called a language exchange at this random hostel like 10 minutes away from me. I look up some pictures. It looks fun. And I'm like, all right, I'm really tired. I can either stay inside and enjoy this nice Airbnb or I can like go outside and just see what happens. And worst case scenario, I come back home early. It's not that serious. So it's like pouring rain outside. Like everything is against me going out. Like I'm feeling kind of sick. It's cold. It's rainy. I shouldn't go. I went. I went to this hostel. I got there. There was like nobody there. But fortunately, a random guy started talking to me. He kept me there for like another hour. Then by like 8:30, a bunch more people came in. I met this white guy from Manchester who lived in Bangladesh for a couple of years and like was fluent in Bangla.
Love that.
Crazy. I met like this guy named Victor, who I'm still very, very close with. He's from Cartagena, which is on the coastal side. And he was working in Medellin as like a software engineer. And I met all of his friends and we became best friends within 5 minutes. And they took me out and we were out till however long. And then I literally spent the entire trip with them. And it was really a big eye-opening moment for me, because I was like, yo, what are the odds? Like, When am I going to find a white man that knows Bangla? Not in Florida. When am I going to find, like, such a generous, like, Colombian man that's literally willing to sacrifice his whole next 4 days just to show a random stranger a good time? You're not going to find that here. And it was just, like, a big eye-opening moment of how, like, how big the world is and how much we don't know about what type of people are out there. And me going on that trip really just fueled this, like, urgency to travel because I was just so obsessed with, like, living and experiencing and meeting these types of people that, like, you're just not going to find in your hometown, you know? So that was definitely, like, a trip that I'm going to remember forever and, like, one of the best moments, like, that first night.
You know something that I love about us? We just have such interconnected lives. Like, you know, a lot of the things that you were proud of and your happiest moments from the year, like, I also did, but, like, in a different city, in a different country, and, like, in my own way, right? Like, we both graduated. You did your solo trip in Colombia for a month. I did my solo trip in Paris. And it's just like, you know, you came out with your book. I came out with my collection. And it's like, it's so nice to have one another to, like, you know, be inspired by.
Oh, stop it. You're going to make me cry in the podcast and then nobody's going to listen anymore.
But yeah, I also loved my solo trip in Paris. I think that everyone should have their solo adventures, their solo dates, even if it's like going to like the grocery store at one point or another, or do it continuously. But my time in Paris was just so like fulfilling and so eye-opening, and it was like the first time in a really long time where I felt like I was taking a good risk for myself, where I felt like I was growing and like I was uncomfortable, but that was like a good thing because it was necessary to grow. And I was finally like present within conversations, and I felt like, you know, I was like in tune with myself, because I feel like sometimes I'm just like so busy and so occupied where like I'm not able to give all of myself to people and conversations and relationships and whatever it is. And, you know, I just felt like genuinely at peace. So I can't wait to like do more of that in 2023. And I'm happy that me and you did that, you know, even when we didn't feel like we deserved it.
Yeah. Round two?
Yeah.
Round two, 2022?
Round
2023? Yeah. Where are you going?
It's an undisclosed location, but if you all watch my YouTube video, then you might have a you might have a little taste.
If you feel the urgency to know where Mo wants to go next year, if you need to know,
if you definitely need to know, watch my How to Make 2023 Your Dream Year Yet on YouTube.com/Mahuakan.
You want to make it your dream year? I want to make it my
dream year. I do. We both are. It's I know our, we
it's
are.
Our, it's our 25 year.
Yeah. You know what I did yesterday? Sorry. I actually wrote a future letter to myself.
Yeah, you did.
For which is going to be sent to December 2023 version of me. So I will not be able to read it or open it until then. And it's a letter in the perspective of me already doing it. So it's not like, oh, I hope I do this. I wish that this happens, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, I completed this. This was a great year. And blah, 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 this is what I did, you know? So it's a great manifestation trick.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that one.
Mm.
Well, I'll tell y'all where I want to go next year, because I'm not a secretive.
Well, secret. Before we go, you want to talk about a failure you've had? And what your outlook is on failure?
I can't name something very specific, but in my schooling for the first 8 years, or 8 years, God, eight months of the year, and you know this, there were a lot of moments where I thought I was going to fail a class, especially towards, like, the coming weeks. Like, you remember there were, like, a couple classes where I was, like, I think it was one class in particular, I had to get, like, an 82 or something on the final to pass the class.
I remember.
You know, that happened a bunch more in the springtime, let alone the summertime. And there were just, like, so many little scares that happened that, like, and there was one point where, like, I can't recollect what exactly it was, maybe because I just, like, forced myself to forget. But I'm sure you remember, like, again, in the coming weeks, I was like, yo, I'm literally going to fail. Like, I'm literally not going to be able to walk. Like, cancel your flight. Like, don't bother coming because, like, I'm not going to be able to graduate. And that happened to me a lot. And I've said it on the podcast a bunch of times, but, like, I have, like, a lot of self-inducing anxiety when it comes to schooling and just repressing seeing how I'm performing academically. And I don't know, there were just so many moments where I didn't want to email my teacher. I didn't want to check my grade. I didn't want to study or pull an all-nighter for this one exam because I knew there was no possible way for me to get like an 84 on it because it's just super hard and I barely passed the homework, let alone any exam. But I just had foresight. I just knew that the good that I would feel from accomplishing said goal is a much more impactful, much greater feeling than the hurt that I would feel for failing said goal. So like, I mean that to say, I knew that the feeling I would get from graduating would definitely outweigh the feeling I would get if I didn't graduate. You know, I don't discourage myself anymore. I don't tell myself that I'm not capable of something anymore.
So you're saying like you had a lot of foresight. And so that means like you knew that what you were destined for would come and that like the win would obviously outweigh the bad, right? But like what would you say to the people that like let the failure stop them and they think that that's like the end of the world and they don't want to get up from that failure?
They just have to confront the fact that what you're doing is bad for you. Mm. Like you know not checking your grades is bad for you. You know not pulling an all-nighter is going to make you fail, and not very specific, but you already know what is not good for you. But it's the fear that makes yourself believe that what is bad for you is not actually that bad for you, when it's just you're just avoiding what the issue is on the table. You're too scared to look at yourself in the mirror and realize what is actually going wrong. I can come up with the random piece of advice on how to, you know, zigzag through, self-confrontation. When at the end of the day, like, self-confrontation is just looking at yourself in the mirror and being like, okay, I know that I can't keep doing this. Like, how bad do you really want it? You know, I used to tell myself all the time, self-discipline is the highest form of love.
Mm.
You know, the highest form of love is you being able to listen to yourself and you being able to listen to yourself saying what is actually good to do, and you getting rid of what you know is already bad for you. You know, just it's just discipline. It's self-love. How much do you love yourself? How much are you willing to do to show yourself that you love yourself? This year I learned that I love myself a lot, and I don't ever want to doubt my capabilities again, because there were dozens of hundreds of moments throughout my academic career where I was like, yeah, there's no point. Mm. There's no point. Whether it's a homework assignment or a class, getting to class, waking up in the morning, I was like, there's no point. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to graduate. You just keep going.
Yeah.
Because you just need to prove to yourself that you're capable of doing what it is that you're not, that you're making yourself believe that you're not capable of. And I kept pushing, and at times when I didn't think it was gonna work, many times I thought it wasn't gonna work, but it worked really well.
I like what you said about the discipline thing, because I think that's what a lot of people lack, especially when they do keep failing. Like, obviously, when you do fail, you don't want to get back up and you feel like the whole world is against you. But you have to have that discipline where you keep going despite the failure, because you know eventually, like, it will all be worth it, you know? And I think that if you don't fail, I feel like you don't appreciate your win enough, because it's like you didn't really work as much as you could have for it because you didn't fail to get to that point, you know? And I feel like you appreciate those like bittersweet moments more when you know that you had to work really hard to get to it and you didn't give up, you know?
Yeah.
I like that.
What was a failure for you?
I also mentioned this in my YouTube video.
Don't got a lot.
I also mentioned this in my YouTube video if y'all didn't watch, you know?
Okay, we get it, please. I'm going to freaking start charging you.
No, but basically I talked about how, I mean, in 2021, I had a really rough year where I just let the failure stop me and I was very discouraged and I was very sad because I thought success wasn't out there for me because I let that failure stop me. But in 2022, I kind of like stopped feeling bad for myself. And I realized that like, obviously you need failures to grow, but also don't let the failure stop you from getting up. Because I think failure is just like redirection for like a different path and like a stronger path that you like work harder on and you're more passionate on. Like, for example, one goal that I had this year was to hit 3,000 sales on labyrinthav.com. And I didn't hit it, but I hit around like 2,700 sales, which is still pretty good. And, you know, even though I didn't hit the 3,000 sales, I still had like my own pop-up shop this year. I sold like 2,700 pieces from like all over the world. And I just like did a lot regarding my clothing. Like I also started my new collection for next year. And I feel like if a lot of us just like look at the failure of not hitting that one goal, we kind of disregard all of the other things that we made or all the other things that we did to hit that goal next year or hit that goal in general, you know? And it's like, I don't want to disregard the fact that I still worked really hard and I had other accomplishments trying to hit this goal, you know? So I'm so proud
of
myself.
That's not a goddamn, that's not a failure. You're deterring from the question.
No, that is a failure.
You hit 2,700 sales. Not no failure. Tell me if some of you failed.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't hit 3,000. On my New Year's resolutions list, it was hit 3,000. All right, let me think of another one.
That's like having a freaking goal of $10 billion. You only make one. So sorry. tough year, buddy.
I had another goal this year to learn Bangla, and that didn't happen.
I feel like you have the same goal every year.
Yeah, I do.
We're going to make it happen next year.
I also had a goal to go to the gym 5 times a month, and that didn't happen either.
You got busy.
Yeah, but that's an excuse. You can't say that to me. Yeah, I got busy.
All right, whatever.
Yeah.
Like I was saying before, if you want to know where I want to go next year, I'll tell you right now.
Who wants to know? Raise your hand if you want to know.
I want to go to Bangladesh in March/April. If anybody listening is in Bangladesh, please reach out to me. I think I want to make some friends. I want to have some people out there before I go, because I do actually want to go. Me and my mother will go in March and April. I really want to. Last time I went was 18, and I'm very happy that I went at 18, but I need to go again.
You know when the last time I went was?
At this age. Who's talking to her?
5.
Freaking yesterday?
Bro, I literally went like 20 years ago at this point.
Then go.
So sad.
Go ahead. Go. Right now.
Yeah, I'd like to.
I also want to go to Ecuador, Quito. I want to go to Mexico, like for real Mexico, like Mexico City, Guadalajara. And I want to go to an African country next year. That's also on my goal, or on my I made a 25 things to do before I turned 25 list. I forgot to tell y'all that. I don't know if I said
no,
that
you did tell
episode.
Us that. I told us in the last episode. The entirety of the episode was just
and
that.
And I'm also going to Africa.
You just said that.
I'm saying it twice because it's.
Do you have any other goals besides
African
listeners, where you want to go?
Huh?
Do you have any other goals besides where you want to go?
No.
Where do you want to go in life?
Africa.
What do you want to do in life?
Relax. Yeah. Yeah, I had a good year. I graduated. I was in 5 countries this year.
Guys, he's counting America.
I'm in America, right?
He counted Iceland, which he was there for a 9-hour layover. No, not even. You were there for a 2-hour layover.
I saw DJ Khaled in Miami. That was a pinnacle moment. They didn't believe in us. I saw him in the roll up to his God Did, the rollout to his God Did album. Very good. Very big band. Very looks like a big teddy bear. Short too. It's funny.
We have a goal for podcasts, huh?
Do you not care about my year?
Yeah, DJ Khaled. I would like to hit 3,500 orders next year.
35.
on labyrinthem.com.
Damn.
I would like to have my art on a showcase in a gallery.
Okay. Should go gallery hunting.
Yeah. I would also like to hit 80K on Instagram.
Oh.
Make it happen.
We're numbers based. I would like to hit 3K, please. You think I can hit 3K before the year
ends? You didn't hit 3K yet?
No.
Wow. You realize the podcast has more than 3K.
I know.
Guys, follow him. Mushimunir, please.
No, please, please. If you're listening right now, you don't follow me. I want 3K before the year ends.
What are you at right now?
Please. Like 2940. Please make it happen. 60 of y'all. Hit me. Please. I want 3K. Please. My 2023 year. My.
All right.
I want Hasan Minhaj on the podcast.
That's a good one.
Mr. Minhaj, I'm speaking into existence right now. I'm gonna find somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows you.
What goals we got for the podcast next year?
I just said.
Besides getting Hasan Minhaj.
I want one guest a month.
Yeah.
We gotta start planning right now.
We have been.
I think we could get that one in January, right?
Yeah.
Then from there, we'll do some rolling out. I want one guest a month. I really want 2023 to be difficult-ish's year, to go from a great podcast to the best podcast.
Both me and you have worked really hard the past year and 3 months where we've posted consistently. And, you know, we've gotten our ratings up. And we love the feedback that we get from you guys every single week. And it's really nice to feel like we're connecting with y'all. So we really want to be known as one of the best podcasts by next year.
Yeah, any other goals other than being the best?
If you have any guest requests, make sure to let us know, because we have like potential ones for the new year. But obviously, we would love to hear your feedback on who you think would fit with our podcast. But we just, like, honestly, we just want to like learn more and educate more and learn from other people that have experiences that we haven't gone through, you know, people that are more well-versed and people that are like actually professionals in that field. So we are excited.
Yeah, don't say nobody's crazy. Don't be saying like Barack Obama. Like, say somebody attainable.
Barack Obama.
We need somebody we can actually get, please.
I'd love to have Barack Obama on the pod.
Do you have any 10-second advice?
Yeah, my advice is, you are deserving of everything that you want in 2023.
Everything?
Everything that is in your grasp.
What if I want like a pet kangaroo?
Wow.
I deserve it?
Well, that's not in your grasp.
No, I can get one. I have family in Australia.
So then what's the issue?
I can figure out a way. So the Pacific Ocean isn't that far.
So then what's the issue?
No, I'm just asking you if that was something I want to do. You'd be okay with it?
I wouldn't be okay with it, nor would the American government. But if that's what you want to do, then go ahead. If you want to smuggle a kangaroo across the borders.
No, it's not smuggling. I'm sure there's like paperwork that I could sign to get it like legally over here.
I don't think you can.
I got a big backyard.
Okay.
A lot of grass.
All right.
Kangaroos eat grass, right?
All right.
That's good advice. Thank you. I'll take that.
You think a kangaroo would survive in the Florida atmosphere? Freaking tornado, yes, would take it away.
We don't have tornadoes here. That's only in the Midwest, okay? We have hurricanes. Okay?
That makes it worse.
A tornado is strong wind. A hurricane is strong wind plus a bunch of other stuff.
A tornado would take it back all the way to Australia.
My advice is push away the pullers in your life.
What'd you say? He said, guys, I'm telling you right now. He says a piece of advice and then he looks at me like he's so proud to say something, no, but look, he gives no explanation.
Look. No, you didn't hear what I said. You didn't hear. Listen.
Do you want me to clap?
Listen. Push away the pullers in your life.
The pullers?
And let me finish. Push away the pullers in your life and pull in the pushers. Think about it. The people that are, you know, pulling you back saying, oh, you can't do that. Oh, relax. You know, that costs too much money. Oh, that's that dream. You know, you know, you're not that good. Push them away.
Mm.
You know who you pull in, the pushers.
Mm.
Yeah, you got that. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that's all you. Yeah, that's not that bad. Yeah, you got that in a couple days. You need more of those people in your
life.
That's
a good one.
People that saying, I don't know. Be careful.
And now he's singing.
You don't need those. You need the people. You surround yourself with people that push you, and you know, when you're in conversation with somebody and you're trying to explain to them how unattainable one of your goals could be, if they're telling you to go do it, you need that person in your life.
Mm. That was a good one.
Yeah, I know. You just got to be patient. Be so quick. Listen to what I'm saying, okay?
You know what we didn't talk about in this episode? We didn't talk about all the love that we got this past year. Like, if y'all looked at our Spotify Wrapped, we grew by 999%. I don't know what that means. But again, I'm proud of us. And I'm happy that you guys are listening to us every single week, because we asked you guys, obviously, for the last episode, you know, what did you love about 2022? What do you want to say to us? Blah, blah, blah. And all of you guys said how much you love the podcast and how much it has helped you over the past year, and how you just maybe have discovered us recently and it has gotten you through a lot of stuff. So we appreciate you so much for listening every single week and, you know, making our days and making this worth it.
And 2023 is going to be the best year of our lives, right?
A movie.
High five. You got anything else?
No, it's like ending a little chapter.
I've been on a big like hot chocolate.
Here he goes.
Big hot chocolate guy. I'm going in 2020.
We're currently recording this at 8:30 p.m. He's gonna go get himself a hot chocolate right after this episode.
You know what I'm gonna do after? Play some chess. If y'all want to play chess with me, add me on chess.com, Masha Munir. For real though, but only if you're good. If you're not good, don't bother. But if like you're decent, right now my ranking's like an 800. It's not that good. I know. I just started. Relax. But I'm nasty. I'm like above average. If you're above average, I don't want to talk to you. If you're like above average, hit me up. Masha Munir, chess.com. Thank you.
All right. Anyway, thank you so much for supporting us this past year. We love you guys so much. And obviously, we will see you literally right after the new year, because we don't take breaks out here, even though maybe we should sometimes. But we are excited for the new year. We're excited for you guys to get into the new year. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on the TikTok page, because we have been popping off.
We've been doing a lot of that.
We're at Difficultish Podcast. We also have our Instagram, which is at Difficultish.
Difficultish.
Get Mushnoor. Get Mushnoor to 3,000 followers. He needs it.
At Mushnoor.
At Mushnoor.
Instagram.com.
And you can also follow me at Lemmerthef if you would like. This is us ending off the year with our 69th episode.
Yes. Difficult-ish.
Ow. Wow. We love you guys. Allah Hafiz.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.